When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Eve.
Hey everyone, I'm Courtney Revolution.
I'm Savannah Palacio, and welcome to
The Homecoming Queens. Every Wednesday on The Homecoming Queens, we will have one of our friends from the reality TV universe so that we can find out what it's like when you come fresh off of a show and have everyone know your name.
You can watch every episode of Homecoming Queens podcast on our new YouTube channel, Homecoming Queens Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe. You know what the deal is.
Shout out to y'all listeners slash viewers.
Whoa, Courtney, you grew like 4 inches right now.
Oh my God, my growth spurt. Okay, sorry. Today's guest is Gerald Smith from the Issa Rae produced reality show Suite Life Los Angeles. But first, you know me and Savannah have to have our little catch up. Kiki. Now, girl, what's going on?
Well, Courtney, this weekend we only went to the Netflix open house event. How was that event for you?
Girl, listen, any event that's a $75 million mansion event is going to be the event for me. You know, there was an open bar. We had burgers that were pumped with Botox, cheese, all types of little small plates. All the girlies were there selling sunset.
Bling Empire. Too hot to handle.
Too hot to handle.
The Circle.
The Circle. That's us, y'all.
Selling OC. The new cast selling the was OC. There.
I didn't get to meet a single one of the Selling the OC cast at all.
So I didn't. I thought the same thing. I didn't know that I was talking to one of them for a while. We were just like complimenting each other's outfits, you know, as girls do. Mm-hmm. She like stopped me. She's like, I really like your dress. I was like, I really like your skirt. Oh. And we were like, oh, hey. And I didn't know who she was. We were just talking. And then I see photos on Getty Images and it says like her name and that she's from the cast. I was like, oh, shoot. I had no idea who I was talking to, but she was very kind. I'm really excited for the show. We together also got to meet Mauricio.
Girl.
And we fangirled about
Listen,
it.
Listen, we literally had to take a moment. First of all, we love Real Housewives here. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. For those of y'all that do not know, Mauricio is Kyle Richards' husband. Probably one of the most recognizable Real Housewife husbands.
He is like the Real Housewives daddy.
Yeah.
He's the daddy. He's our
arguably,
daddy.
I'm sure fans have their favorite husbands. Mauricio's definitely in my top three.
For sure.
And so as we're in the lobby and we look up and there's Mauricio, it was like, oh my God. And thankfully our picture and our place in our group photo was right at the top, right beside Daddy Mauricio.
And he turned around and he looked at me and I looked at him. And I was like, I'm Savannah. And he said, I'm Mauricio. And he doesn't know this, but I was screaming on the inside.
Me.
I was like, I'm Savannah.
You know, my inside, gay ass was like, Hi, Mauricio. Hi, I'm Courtney. Hi.
And then Courtney was all excited. I'm like, Courtney, calm down.
They're like, relax. I said, Hi.
I'm like, Courtney, be cool.
So we were excited about that. And then later on in the evening, I met another young lady, right? Had no idea who she was, but she had a great outfit on. Her name is Sonica. And I found out that she is on a new show on Netflix coming out that is actually the show that Mauricio is on called Buying Beverly Hills.
And
I'm very excited about that.
Which is crazy. Let's just talk about this really quick because you and I are Real Housewives fans. Of course, we are a part of the Netflix family. Yes, sorry, ma'am. Bravo, but you didn't come with the coin quick enough. So we had to sign a contract with Netflix, okay? And it's crazy because they clearly did the same thing to Mauricio. I mean, he's going from Bravo to Netflix. Isn't that kind of a crazy jump, like when you think about TV?
I look at it as Kyle and Mauricio have sort of like built this legacy on Bravo, but we know that streaming is the future.
Yes.
At least from where I sit, streaming is the future. So if not Bravo, why not Netflix? And Kyle, I'm sure, will stay on Bravo for the time being, and Mauricio gets a Netflix bag. And yeah. Alexia's on it.
Yeah, both of his daughters, Alexia and Farah, right? Oh, his stepdaughter from Kyle's first marriage, right? Mm-hmm. Still his child.
Absolutely.
And it was great seeing all three of them together. And Courtney and I, the entire night, were like, why isn't Kyle here? We wanted to meet Kyle because we obviously love Mauricio. His daughters are just as beautiful. But Courtney and I were fangirling over Kyle. We thought she wasn't there. And again, we were looking at the Getty images
the next day,
and we saw she was there.
I was shook to my core.
So pissed. I couldn't say hi.
I also want to say one last thing. I was very upset that, and this is my petty moment of the episode. I was very upset that there were these golden N centerpieces. Shut up. Golden N centerpieces on every table. And I watched several of our good Judies within the Netflix family take them home. But when I grabbed mine and put mine on the ground to take a picture with Shoopy, somebody came and snatched it and said that I could not have it.
Who took my best friend's gold table centerpiece decoration?
I'm just
saying. Who took it?
I'm a Netflix angel. I should have been able to go home with a heavy ass golden N. Period. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Y'all need to give me that. Y'all can invoice me that. I know they $700. As you can see, I tussled with the people over at $400.
Yeah.
$700. Yeah, y'all could have invoiced me for that. I need that.
I'm amazed that you were so inebriated and you still managed to find one of those things.
Absolutely. Inebriated and took several pictures and then went to the chapel with my girl, Chriselle Stiles. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am. Sure did.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. We went and we was pop, pop, pop. They played that new Beyonce girl.
Did Miss Chriselle change out of that gown and into some low-rise jeans?
Sold it. Sold it. We was up at Miss Chapel Grove, and I turned around and the queen walked and I said, I know you better sell us some sunsets real quick, Miss Chriselle Stiles.
And she said, let me pop this pussy real quick.
Girl, Beyonce came on. I said, where's my girl, Chriselle? I turned to my left. I turned to my right. Amanda was up on the furniture, bitch. And then Chriselle came on over, bitch, and we fucked it up.
Damn.
They had to put us out, girl.
Damn, that's crazy. I was at Beauty and Essex having dinner. I went to Tao after. And ironically, it was an all white party. And I was already wearing white, so it was great. But I brought my friend with me, Christina, who was wearing red. So she's like wearing red in this all white party.
Lady in red.
And then you know who I saw at my table? Holly Scarfone.
Who the fuck is that?
From Too Hot to Handle.
Oh.
She's
I don't know.
From
who, Love You Down.
She's from the most recent season of Too Hot to Handle.
And that explains why. Bless you, Love You Down. I did not complete that season.
It's okay.
Yeah.
She was super sweet. She was really nice. I had seen her at the event, but you know as well as I do that at those events, there's so many people. Mm-hmm. There's like all this music. You're having these photo ops. You need to be here at a certain time, there at a certain time. The bar is open.
The bar is open.
There's so many things going on.
And one more time. Who the fuck is that? Never heard of her.
It's okay. It's okay.
When I think of Too Hot to Handle, I think of Harry Jowsey Chase, Chloe, and a few others. Shout out to Melinda. But on the back of a milk carton, she's missing. Who's that? But she was nice.
When I think of Too Hot to Handle, I think about like Harry.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only person I think about.
Now, you know you think about Chase.
I never think about Chase.
Bye. We love Chase.
What the fuck?
Harry and Chloe.
Why would I be thinking about Chase? Except the other day, I thought
That's
about Chase.
Good Judy.
I thought about Chase because he texted me and it was his birthday. But I'm not like sitting in my bed fiddling my thumbs like, oh, what is
no
Chase doing?
No one said that you
right
were.
You just said you think I'm like, I'm not thinking about Chase.
Not like that. Viewer, listener, you know what I meant. You know
I'm just saying when it comes to, okay, I mean, I guess, yeah, when I think
when
about
you think
Two Hot
to Handle. When you think of the show and the brand.
Right, okay.
Francesca, Harry, Chase, Melinda. It's not like eight of them I'm thinking about. Maybe like five or six, you know?
Yeah.
Great show.
I did meet that
y'all.
Jesus guy from Two Hot to Handle from, I think it was the first season. Really tall.
He wears the fur coats and keeps showing up to our events.
He keeps showing up to the circle stuff.
Yes.
I remember I turned around and all I saw was like belly button. I was like, "What? Who are you?" Because he's so tall. And then I looked up and I was like, oh, hey, Jesus. I was like, you're Jesus, right?
Clementine, cut this shit at the open house.
Because what do you mean? I looked up and I was like, hey, Jesus. He was like, hey, I was like, you're Jesus,
I turned around, I was looking at a belly button.
Because he's so tall.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, you know what?
No, it's just the thought is funny. I wish I could see this man. Y'all probably know him better than I do. Because he's so tall.
He's huge.
We're
with this fur jacket.
Ass bar. Girl,
it's summer in LA.
They are wasted, girl, at Miss Belmont at the Circle
so
rap party. And here you are in a hot ass fur coat. You not sweating, sis?
Oh, he's sweating.
Put yeah. that picture away. Don't yeah. show me that, man. I feel like Wendy Williams. What was that?
And it, okay, I, you know what? I want to be nice. I am very nice. But yes, so I met this Jesus man. I was like, oh my God, Jesus.
What is this man's name?
He was
not
like,
Jesus man.
He was like, Matthew. My name is, he's like, I asked, oh, that's obviously not your real name. What's your real name? He said, Matthew. I was like, oh, nice to meet you. I'm Savannah. I was like, you were on Too Hot to Handle. I remember, I obviously remember you. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, yeah. He was like, he was like, I recognize you from the circle. I was like, oh yeah, whatever. We're geeking. And then whatever. The night moves on. I end up leaving this man. We're at the bar, but he's like one of those guys that doesn't really know how big he is, you know? So like the poor man was just at the bar trying to get a drink, just like moi. Mm. And he was like, his elbow is like my eye level. This man is nearly going to put his elbow into my eye socket because he's just so large.
Not an eye gouge moment. Like, hey,
stop it there. Because I'm just so little.
The stunts. If you're not watching the podcast, you should go to our new YouTube channel and watch Savannah's stunts.
He was very nice, but yes. Dear God, learn your body.
And that's the lesson for today, y'all. Before we get into more things, learn your body.
This is the only way I can plug this. But speaking about bodies, you know, something very serious did happen for women and for everyone else. I know like people don't come on our podcast to listen to us talk about political issues. But as a woman and as a not a misogynistic person.
Absolutely.
You know, Roe v. Wade obviously got overturned this past week. It wasn't something that, you know, people really ever thought was going to happen or at least something that was at stake. And, you know, we just want to let everyone know who's listening that, you know, we stand by all the women that are affected both in this state and everywhere else in the country. Mm. And, you know, there isn't much that, you know, we can do individually other than come together as a society and, you know, publicly say our stance. And so I think I speak for everyone at the Homecoming Queens podcast when I say that, you know, any woman affected or not affected is in our hearts and on our minds.
Absolutely. We love you, women.
Yeah.
Bring them out. Bring them out.
Why was I going to say that? Bring them out. Hey.
So annoying. Okay. All right, you guys, we're super excited because life just got a little bit sweeter. And I'm sure our next guest has heard that a lot of times. We're here with Gerald from Sweet Life Los Angeles. Welcome, Gerald.
Hey, friends.
Hi.
Welcome home.
You know what's crazy? No, I wasn't homecoming king. I was prom king. I wasn't homecoming
king. Oh.
I lost prom king and also was very shocked. And it's on DVD. Like our high school put our prom on a DVD and
what,
I lost.
What year was this, Courtney?
2010.
Okay. I would love to see your face.
I would.
Shout out to Vinny Simeone, who snatched the crown from me.
Ooh. He kind of has a sexy name, Vinny Simeone.
I'm going to be nice. Shout out to the Poconos. Hi, Gerald.
Hey, Courtney.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome home. This is Savannah.
Savannah
Hi,
and I.
Hi, nice to meet you. Yeah,
we just met today. We already have a ton of mutual friends.
Yeah.
So.
Is it just an LA thing?
Gerald's from here. I'm from here. Yeah, I was like, I saw his shorts when we first walked in, you know, me in the Laker gear. I was like, and their corduroy. I was like, those are nice.
The taste.
Yeah.
Courtney knows I'd be styling. He knows.
Honestly, I am good for just a striped graphic tee moment. Right? That's very much my aesthetic. Short chain, graphic tee. Shout out to fashion.
I'm a very simple man.
I've been learning I got to take a lot more risks now that I'm on TV. I like to step out of my comfort zone a lot. Plus, my fiance is a fashion designer.
Ooh.
I'm trying to learn to train myself to say fiance instead of girlfriend. My fiance is a fashion designer, so I gotta make sure that I'm on her level.
Yeah, you gotta keep up.
You can't be looking not cute standing
next to her. I'm sure she goes out stunning.
Right. Naturally, I'm a six, but when I put clothes on, I'm like a nine.
Stupid. I love that. He's a six, but he dresses well. That's what he just said.
I know. I'm trying to get into the juice right off the top. Gerald, can you tell our listeners, how do you know when you are ready to propose?
Well, I feel like I'm a very unique case because Cheryl and I were dating for quite some time, and I've known her for a little while. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've known for quite some time that like this person is going to be my partner for the rest of my life. It's just the whole process leading up to proposing, the most stressful thing I've ever endured. Getting those words out. There's a video of it somewhere, but like getting those words out, like I thought I had so much to say. And when I dropped down on one knee, I was like, oh shit, I have two sentences that I'll barely get out. And then I'm just going to ask you to marry me. I think you know, once you really hit your stride with your person, like you, me and Cheryl or Cheryl and I have reached like that point in our relationship where we have like a cadence where like everything just comes naturally. She knows how I'm feeling most times. I know how she's feeling most times. And even if I don't, like we can kind of sense what's wrong so that we can get into those conversations, and you know, shit just comes easy. And not saying that it will always come easy, but it's more easy than it is hard.
How long have you guys been together?
We've been together going on 10 years.
Wow. How did you meet?
We actually met in high school. So her, you know, black people got cousins that ain't their cousins.
Oh, yes.
So her cousin, air quotes, is someone that I've known since I was in like kindergarten. And fast forward to high school, obviously being from LA, you find your circle, you find your people.
For sure.
No pun intended. You find your circle. You find your people and you kind of just stick together. And I was at her birthday party in high school, and in comes my now fiance. I'm like, oh shit, like who's that over there? And you know, we met, we were friends. We tried things out, didn't really work out. You know, we were friends again. We started dating, and you know, ups and downs, but we here now.
And y'all never gave up?
No.
Aww.
I'm persistent, bro. That's one thing about me is I'm persistent.
Persistence yeah. breaks resistance.
Persistence and patience.
Yes.
Top two P's.
Aw, that's so sweet.
I appreciate you.
Well, I think that makes you guys being together that much more special because you guys had your trials and tribulations. You know, prove that no relationship is perfect, but you know, you can get there with some hard work and time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
I just wanted to talk about that, like right off the top. Gerald is engaged, and we are very, very, very happy for him and Cheryl.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you so much.
Do you have like wedding plans?
You know what? So, no, I just got engaged a week and a half ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was so recent.
No.
Congratulations.
It's fine. Thank you.
That's exciting.
Cheryl and I were just having this conversation because she was like, oh, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And she looked and got mad at me because I was like, girl, like I just proposed to you like 7 days ago. Can I get my mind right? And she was like, you better start thinking about this. Like, I don't know why you're not thinking about this. And so we're in the process of like figuring out what it is we want.
Yeah.
Cause you know, that shit is expensive too.
Well, what do you, if in your perfect world, if you got to plan the wedding, every detail of it, which probably isn't going
to
happen.
It has to be a movie.
Cause this is going to be hopefully your only wedding.
Yeah.
Ever.
I mean, so hopefully
you got to do it big.
Yeah. Hopefully everyone's first wedding is their only wedding, but, it has to be a movie. Just like my personality, like I have a lot of friends, a lot of people who want to come to the wedding, people that I haven't talked to in years that apparently want to come to our wedding. And I love to have fun. I love to party, and I want a bunch of people there. I want it to be the most memorable party ever. Uh-huh. The decor has to be over the top. I gotta have the flyest fucking suit on. Cheryl she's gonna design her own dress.
I love it. Yeah. I love the thought. It sounds like you've thought about it.
I mean, this is my person. I've put a little bit of thought into it.
Yeah. Well, I love that you bring up like, you know, how random people that you haven't talked to in a while reach out to you. Because I think the best way to combat that is to have a destination wedding. Because then you weed out the people that don't actually want to go to the wedding. They just want to know like what's happening and have their nose in it. So, I mean, a destination wedding could be, you know, a good option for you.
Yeah. I don't think we could do a destination wedding though, because we're so LA.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I feel that.
It has to be.
Well, because you're from here and she's obviously from here.
She's from here.
And your families are large. Oh, I see.
I wouldn't say large, but you know, large enough to where it's like everybody's not really gonna want to or have the means to travel somewhere for a wedding.
That makes sense. Just get a small venue so not a lot of people can go.
It's gonna be a big venue.
Small venue. He wanted it to be a movie, not a Rugrats episode.
It could be a movie. It could be a very nice movie.
An intimate movie.
She
said it could be a trailer.
It's giving trailer.
Or you can invite all of LA. I mean, me and Courtney, we look great when we're dressed up too. We are also sixes that look like nines when we get
ready. Savannah, who?
first of all,
who is catering all this food if it's just open invitation for all of LA?
That's not my wedding. Oh, who's catering it? Let us know.
My family's Caribbean, so I feel like we got to have some sort of like Caribbean food, you know, and you know, the people that don't rock with that are, I guess, the people that are going to stay home.
Bye. So, they lost. Yeah. They lost.
Yeah.
Gerald, for those that have not seen Sweet Life Los Angeles, can you give them the quick synopsis about what they're missing out on? Because y'all are missing out. If you follow me on Instagram, you already know she stands that television program. But explain for them.
Sweet Life Los Angeles. First of all, shout out to Issa Rae for giving us the platform. Shout out to all of my castmates for taking this journey with me. Sweet Life LA is the story of a bunch of young black entrepreneurial individuals born and raised in LA, except for a few, just trying to navigate life, relationships, and figuring our shit out in this not big, but like, you know, the big pond that is this city. Like there's a lot going on, and it's kind of tough sometimes to make sure that you're treading water or keeping your head above water amidst like trying to chase your dreams and everything that kind of the curveballs that life throws at you throughout that process. So that's what it is. It's our journey figuring out life, and we just so happen to be able to do it on TV.
Wow, what a cool show.
How did this even happen for you?
You know, they obviously, with most shows, you do casting, right? And they reached out to a friend of mine, Jordan, who's also on the show. And we're like, hey, we're looking for, you know, young black entrepreneurial cool people. Jordan said, hey, I got the perfect person for this, that being me. And I, you know, did the little interview process. They're like, cool. Who else do you have around you in your life that you think is doing really cool shit or is on the verge of doing some really cool stuff that'd be great to see on TV? And I literally just, obviously Cheryl was the first person I suggested.
Yeah.
I can't do that without her.
How could you not? Yeah.
But like suggested all of my friends, like Kofi's my best friend, as we've been friends since the third grade. PJ, my homie I've known for going on maybe 7 years now, best friends with his cousin since the third grade. Jordan, me and him have been best friends for a while. Tylin, I've known her since I was in high school.
Oh, wow. So this is like a show you were actually able to do with your friends.
Yeah. You know, when you watch it, you'll see like if friends have their issues and differences, but like we're at its core, we're all friends.
Like I think one of the best things about the show is it's so un-Housewives. So like on Housewives, you know, sometimes you get women that are just thrown together. Like, oh, you live in the same city. You live a couple towns away, girl, be on camera. But y'all actually knew each other.
No, yeah.
And it very much shows.
Yeah.
Shout out to the show. Did you know it was an Issa Rae moment when you started the casting process? Did they let you know that?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit?
Yeah. I feel like since I work in entertainment, whenever I do like for myself entertainment stuff, everybody's like, oh, I can overshare because you understand the process and how this goes. And so I feel like, yeah, it was vaguely communicated like, oh, Issa might be part of this in some sort of way, shape or form. And I was like, all right, that's cool. But, you know, this sounds like some shit that I need to be a part of regardless.
Yeah.
What was that like meeting her? Did you get to meet her?
Yeah. That's Auntie.
What was it like meeting her for the first time?
She is exactly how she comes across on TV in person.
Oh, she's
the most loving and funny and comical person. She jokes because if you watch the show, Cheryl's like alter ego is C Nasty. And whenever, like one time we pulled up on her and she greeted us, she was like, what's up, C Nasty? How you doing? And Cheryl was like, I'm doing good. And she was like, what's up with you, J Regular? And I was like, wow. Oh. I was like, she's like, she makes you feel comfortable in all those spaces. Like she's a person. She's a down to earth person.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you don't get a lot of those like mega stars who've reached that level.
Right. Well, that's awesome. And you guys just got done filming season 2, correct?
Yes.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Listen, I'm ready to put my stand cap back on.
Put it
once
on.
Again, every episode, y'all need to watch Sweet Life Los Angeles.
Watch it. Keep watching it.
We know you can't say too much, but is there anything that everybody should maybe be expecting or
maybe you can prepare for? Listen, I feel like what you got out of season 1 was a bunch of friends who got to go through this process together and experience it for the first time and understanding like how to come off as our authentic selves when being on a reality TV show is a task in itself. And I feel like you can expect a lot of us like still trying to figure out our shit in real life with some cameras there. Like the shit is tough at the end of the day. Like going through all of this with your friends on camera, you can expect a lot of that real rap raw.
Love that.
Gerald, did you feel while you were filming the show and as the show was airing that maybe you had like a pressure or responsibility to sort of like be a certain way because you knew that there would be the Twitter comments, the online criticisms, etc.?
I feel like I was a little bit harder on myself than most other people, like understanding some of the back end of the process. And I tried to remain as, you know, as true to myself, but also like as not problematic as I could, which, you know, people are going to take it however they want to take it, you know, at the end of the day. But I feel like I for the most part was authentic to myself and in a lot of what we were filming. And I feel like I had to, because at the end of the day, if I'm myself on a show, I don't want anybody to approach me in the street and be like, oh, you're such and such that does all the crazy shit. And I'm like, well, no, that's not me at all. Like, I'm kind of just like a chill guy who just enjoys spending time with his friends.
Now, with Sweet Life, I was wondering, right? Y'all are putting your lives out there. How do you decide, like, okay, I want this on camera versus I don't want this on camera? Because I don't want nobody to know nothing about me.
I think that, you know, there's no decision process. It's kind of like what you got going on right now. And the beauty of Sweet Life is that this is only just the beginning for all of us. You know, hopefully there's more Sweet Life to come, but hopefully on top of that, there's other opportunities that come out of that. And you got to put everything that you're doing out there on Front Street, because you never know where your next opportunity is coming from. Cause you just so happened to talk about this one thing on there. Like, I don't think there's anything that you know, we'd shy away from talking about, and it's a decision process to put one thing on or the other. It's just like, you know, just remaining true to what you got going on at the time.
Savannah, what did you put on TV?
I would want to keep my family out of the cameras, because I think, like, with respect to them, I know that I'm comfortable living my life in front of a camera. I don't think that has to be their normal if they don't want it to be their normal. It's like hard though when you're filming a show like that, because it is about your life. So it's like you obviously have a family.
I feel you on that. My dad was in the first season. We had a very great episode. The beauty of it though, the flip side, because my parents are very much like that, to where like, I don't want no cameras in my face. I don't want no cameras in my space.
Mine too.
My dad was in a scene with me in the first season where we talked about, you know, how I was thinking about moving in with Cheryl at the time, where me and her relationship was, what, you know, some stuff that we had never really talked about in real life, like him being proud of me. Like, obviously it was always understood, but like we never had that conversation. And what I liked about first season of Sweet Life was that it forced us to have that conversation. Like, in order for the audience to understand who I am, my dad had to have that conversation with me on camera, which made our relationship that much stronger.
That's beautiful.
In real life.
And you guys have it on camera.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So. I got him to cry on camera. So I got that forever.
I feel that though. My dad refuses to have an iPhone. He didn't want to have an iPhone because he didn't want a camera on his phone. I'm like, you're crazy. What? Who's coming after you?
My dad is the only person in our family who still has an Android.
Yeah.
My dad has a Windows phone.
I mean, my dad has an iPhone now because like we bought him one and he caved. But my dad doesn't like being in front of cameras or anything. So I feel you on that.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. I did realize when watching the show, I didn't watch all of it, but I watched like snippets, that there wasn't a lot of drama in the show. I know you mentioned that.
What was you watching?
No, I mean, there wasn't until the end.
Notice how
until
she said, she ain't finishing.
You know? It was like going, but I feel like, I mean, you said that you guys are friends and you guys have your hiccups. Of course, every friend group does. Yeah. But I mean, was anything in your season maybe not as authentic as it could have been? Was anything staged or?
No, nothing was staged.
Cool.
I just feel like, you know, with any TV show, you have a time limit on TV. And, you know, you sometimes don't get to see the full picture of how we got to this moment. But what's most important for the viewers is the moment. But you know, nothing was staged. Everything was us being ourselves. And unfortunately, those were some points that we got to where we were having drama and spats in between friends that probably had never had any of these like weird moments before. Mm. But no, nothing was staged. It's just like, you know, you don't always get to see how we got there.
I don't think that there's anything unfortunate about that. I think like we just had two people on our podcast who had, bickered on TV as well. And I said to them, you know, it is obvious to me because I know both of them as such good friends that of course they're going to have their arguments. Right. They're, you guys, when you're like so close to someone friend wise and you like, you guys are like so close, like you're like mm-hmm. siblings, you're going to argue like family. Yeah. So, I mean, I think stuff like that just makes it that much more real, yeah. right? That much more raw, like you said.
I'm over here thinking because our situation, we were separated from mm-hmm. each other, right? I'm like, you arguing with your friend and then the cameras go off and then do what? You text that person like, we good?
Yeah.
Like, what happens after that? Like, after some real life shit happens on the show and y'all take y'all mic packs off or what have you and y'all go home, y'all don't text each other in the group chat like, all right, y'all, I know I cursed you out. No. Be cool, right?
No. With a show like this, I feel like there's no like, okay, we're going to do this and then we're just going to be cool. Like, no, like if those are real conversations that we're having, like real feelings and you know, it's not just something that you can just text and be like, okay, we're cool. Like, no, we got to, whether the camera's on or the camera's off, more conversations are going to have to be had to like actually figure that shit out. It's in no way like that.
Mm. Right. I feel like for me, I don't know about you, Courtney, but like if I had a friend and we like were cool or something and then they like, I don't know if something real was happening on TV and I don't know, like, I feel like I would still want to have conversations after the cameras went off. Yeah. I would want to have more like, why are you having this conversation with me when cameras are around?
Yeah.
Mm. We've had like 20,000 opportunities. But
that's when you got to understand.
Yeah,
this is when you sign up for a TV show.
Right, right. Like you're forced into the situations.
Yeah, but it's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because it forces you to have those uncomfortable conversations with your friends. Like I think that maybe this is just me getting older and in my lovey-dovey mode right now, but I was never somebody who ever cried. I cried on TV. Mm. I was never somebody who really ever got into it with my friends. But because, you know, stuff ended up happening, we were put in those situations where like, okay, we have to have a conversation about this. Otherwise, it's going to be awkward. And, you know, it forced me to be more of a emotionally open person and more of a, like, I'm always conversational, but more like intentionally conversational person to where it's like, nah, we gotta talk this shit out because this is how I'm feeling. Mm. Whether the cameras are here or not, like cameras are here because this is what we're doing in our lives. This is who we are. But you know, we got to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Jesus, that sounds intense. I'm like, keep my ass in the apartment with the door shut.
I know.
Like, you know, I ain't have to talk to nobody, bitch. Jeez.
I'm like, what if I don't want to talk sometimes? Gosh.
Girl, you already know this. They say, girl, what's on your mind, babes?
Yeah.
What's going on, babes? Like, everything all right?
Say a little more.
Give it to us one more time with more energy. No. Gerald, in your opinion, what makes a good reality personality?
You got to be a personality, first and foremost. You got to be somebody that's comfortable in front of camera, being able to talk about things and not worrying about the camera being there all the time. Good reality TV personality. Somebody's having fun with it, man. Like, I feel like people watch reality TV to get an escape from their own lives. And not saying that everybody wants to see drama all the time, but like, you know, they want to see somebody doing some shit that they might not necessarily be doing. It's where it's like, okay, this is inspiring. I want to go do that. Or this is so fun. Like, I love that for them. Or, you know, even the dramatic shit, like, oh my God, did he really just say that? Like, I could never say that to one of my friends. So like, well, you know, one of us did, and this is what happened. So if you ever get in that situation, now you know maybe not how to handle it or how not to handle it, whatever it is. But I feel like that's what makes a good reality TV personality.
I think it depends on the show that they're on. Mm. I think it depends on the reality TV you're talking about. But I agree with his first point. You do have to have personality, regardless of whatever reality show you're on, whether it's either one of the shows that we did. Mm-hmm. Because they're both very different. I think you just have to have a big personality. Something that makes people want to watch you.
Yeah. I did one of the shows that you guys did.
Can I talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So picture this. It's the night before the circle. Like the night before we're all flying out, right?
Okay.
I'm in my bedroom getting my last couple of things together. and I turn on the Netflix just to have on in the background. Packing. And I see Floor is Lava.
Stop.
Why I put on Floor is Lava and watched Gerald on Floor is Lava, did the circle, and then came out. The circle came out, and then our friend Eddie was like,
stop.
He was like, oh, I know Gerald. And I was like, wait, Gerald from Suite Life that's on Floor is Lava?
No. Yeah. Wow, what a small world.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That's literally crazy.
What was your Floor is Lava experience like?
Yeah, wait, what
that was the
were you
most
on?
Fun? Listen,
what
that
was your room? What was your room?
Planetarium.
Planetarium.
It was with the planets and the spaceships.
That's season one, though, right? I think I watched that.
Season two, too, I think.
Yeah?
I believe so.
We didn't watch the whole season. We watched that episode.
I watched season one, though. Okay, I'm trying to remember.
Season one, episode three is the Mama's Boys. Me, my friend Jordan, who's also in Suite Life. Mm-hmm.
I remember this, too.
My roommate from college, Luan. That shit was the most, like being on a show like that is like real bucket list type
Yeah, literally.
I was like, and I would love to redeem myself because I died. That was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had. Like if they ever decide they want to make like a Floor is Lava water, like theme park or some shit like that.
Listen, I'm in there.
I will be there. Like. That shit was so fun.
That's a great idea, actually. Like an experience type thing. You know how people do escape rooms, like a Floor is Lava?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Imagine like Netflix is probably going to take that and be like,
Netflix will take that and they will not cut you your check.
With the Floor is Lava rooms.
They're not going to cut no check. You already know I started Netflix Reality Universe, AKA the NRU. And now
we
see it all the time.
Ooh. Netflix, run me my our money.
I want to ask you something. Mm-hmm. For someone that wants to do reality, what is the kind of advice you would give them to do a good job versus just getting on the show? Because some people think that the job stops.
Understand what you're getting yourself into. I feel like there's a moment in time where you're like, oh, okay, like I feel like it'd be great to just have these cameras here and I'll just go about my life and do whatever. And it's like, nah. At the end of the day, you know, there's cameras there for a reason. And you're getting yourself into it because you have something interesting to provide to viewers. You know, like I said before, that's not always drama. Sometimes it's drama, but you gotta be on. You gotta provide what the viewers want to see. And you just gotta understand that's what you're getting yourself into. Like, I really feel like I met, like my friend Kofi, who's also on Suite Life, really manifested Suite Life for us, because when we were in college, we used to talk about all the time. He's like, damn, we doing all this cool shit. Somebody should put us on a TV show. Mm. And when we got on a TV show, it was like, well, you know, fuck, like we can't just be doing the cool shit that we do because nobody understands why we're doing this or how we got to do this or what this even means for us. So, you know, you gotta be able to, if you're feeling some type of way, you know, obviously they're going to see it on your face in camera, but you got to be able to describe how you're feeling and for someone else to understand how you're feeling and how you got to this point and what you want to do next and stuff like that. So it's literally like a constant process of figuring yourself out.
Yeah. Absolutely. And storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, how can you best tell your story?
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely feel you. I think like going on TV really helped me best articulate how I was feeling. Because like prior to going on a show and having to watch yourself, I feel like everyone acts different. And then you see yourself after a TV show and you're like, huh, that's how I act.
I thought that I was going to look like one of my own YouTube videos. I was like, oh, this is going to be so fun, blah, blah, blah. They said, no, you're a bitch.
Yeah, same. I was like,
they said, no, you're actually extremely competitive, which I would never describe myself as ever in any galaxy.
Really?
Ever. I don't give a fuck about anything.
You were probably when your season of The Circle was my favorite season of The Circle.
So that's what everyone says. Yeah. And it's because of us.
Courtney was so strategic when I was watching it.
He was so good. Were you not? You were like, yes, pick up the pieces, right. Courtney.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you were like the Joker at one point.
I was like,
that was a whole curveball that they threw in there.
That was
that.
Good.
But I was like, dang, like This man is playing this game.
$100,000. Yeah. I flew to England not to go home empty-handed.
He felt really strongly about a girl he had never really met, right? When you know, you know. When you know, you know.
It's the tea. It's the tea.
I mean, and you weren't wrong.
I was not wrong. Look, we're here.
Look
at us.
I made the right decision, obviously. Thanks. You
know? Yeah.
Still no cake baked yet.
I'm pissed about it, actually. Haven't forgotten.
Within the year. How about that? Within the year. Before this podcast
turns one?
Before this podcast turns one.
Okay, fine.
Maybe we'll celebrate that.
I was going to say until the end of the year because you said end of the year, but I'll give you until. I know you need more time.
I'm always late.
There's a cake that's supposed to be there?
Yeah, on the show, I told Savannah if she offered me allegiance, I would bake her a cake in a poem.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It was all the way in the beginning.
Okay. It was all the way in the beginning, and then that's when I spilled everything to him. It really wasn't the cake that sold me, though. It was the 90s R&B. I knew that was going to hook someone in.
I said 2000s R&B, and I said T-Pain and the internet dragged me. Gerald, what's the worst thing you've read about yourself online?
Yeah.
The worst thing that I've read about myself online, I've read that I have commitment issues, even though I've been dating my girlfriend, my fiance, for quite some time, because I didn't want to move in with her or wasn't ready to marry her. The internet said I had commitment issues.
Wait, they said that you had commitment issues because you were dating a girl for over 10 years and you didn't want to move in with her?
Yeah.
Or you were barely moving in with her?
Yeah.
But you guys had started dating when you were in high school.
Listen, so that's what the... So when we talk about, you know, you get reality TV and you see like me and Cheryl on TV talking about moving in together and we've been together for 10 years, what you don't get is the backstory and understanding that we met in high school and went through college and had to figure our own lives out, you know, professionally and, you know...
Become adults,
you know what I'm saying? Like... People, I almost said the N-word. I don't know if I can say the N-word on this podcast.
You can. You can say whatever you want.
Okay. Well, okay, I don't want to say it now because I'm self-conscious. But people.
You can be yourself here.
People saw us and were like, oh, they've been together for 9 years. They should be married by now. It's like the last fucking thing that I want to be is 22 and married and broke and trying to figure life out. Like I'm at a point now where it's like my career is great. Obviously Sweet Life is great. Me and Cheryl are great. It's like, okay, we can think about building a life together now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always been something that we talk about, but because you guys didn't see us talk about it on the in the clips of the show, it's like, dang, I got commitment issues.
Damn, maybe you do got commitment issues, but does your soon-to-be wife know that you have commitment issues?
Baby, if you're watching this, I guess I got commitment issues.
To the people that was tweeting that, we just want to say, shut the hell up. What about you, Savannah? What's the worst thing you ever read about yourself online?
Honestly, it's not really that bad. Just probably like people calling me a snake or calling me racist. That was the worst one. That was the worst one.
I feel you.
Because it was so untrue. Like, am I a bitch? Yeah, I definitely could be. Am I a snake when I'm playing for $100,000? I probably definitely could be.
You should be.
Am I racist though? No. Not and it was like, I don't think that was like the meanest, but it was definitely just the most untrue. Mm. And I think that's why it hurt me so much.
Mine was an anti-black misogynist. Obviously.
Oh yeah.
Obviously not anti-black.
Yeah, what?
Oh, obviously not misogynist.
Yeah.
So
you're
once
so
again,
anti-black. You are black.
To that we say, all three of us, shut the hell up.
It just really goes to show that like people who watch reality TV just have more hours in the day than we do, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's at the end of the day, what I love is that they're watching it. And and I learned this from Cheryl because I learned this from Issa. Like I really learned to have fun with, you know, some of the crazy shit that people are saying on Twitter, because at the end of the day, like, you know, they watch the show. And so we got that view. And I appreciate you guys for watching the show. Somebody else said like, oh, this is how you treat the fans of your show. I was like, I mean, this is how y'all treat me on the internet. Like, I'm thanking you for watching the show, but also you got me fucked up at the same time. Like, I'm not just going to let you have me fucked up.
Exactly.
But I learned from Issa, just have fun with it. I've learned from Cheryl, you know, none of what these people say on the internet matters.
And they could watch the show and not be rude in the comments, right? You can watch a show and choose not to go to someone's page and not say something mean. Right. You could just say it up here.
I got actual like hate comments.
Really?
After. I mean, because there were, when I guess, you know, you have viewers that take like different sides of people in different situations.
They get invested.
You know, they get really invested, which is great. Like, I love that. Thank you for being invested in the show. But also understand, you know, these are issues between me and my friends. We're going to hash them out in ways that we know how to hash them out, or going to figure out how to hash it out. I'm not trying to go back and forth with you on the internet over some shit that you know nothing about, really.
Say that one more time. How much do they know about it, Jerry?
Yeah, say it louder for the people in the back.
Settle. Nothing. Absolutely zilch. Nada.
Y'all were not there, is what he said. Yeah. Y'all were not there.
And so you guys see, like,
enjoy the show.
This much of it.
Always, yeah. always.
But again, reiterating, thank you for watching. Just always be kind to people. Like, it literally takes nothing out of your day to be nice to somebody. Like, one of my big storylines on season one was how I have like the worst anxiety ever. And, you know, Flora's Lava was different because everybody was like, oh, I saw you and I saw you die. And that shit was funny. And it looked so fun. Sweet Life, you know, it was like, oh my God, you guys are great. And then it was, oh my God, how dare you do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, damn, like, well, I wasn't really prepared for all that. And I had to learn to adjust to it in a lot of ways.
Mm. Right.
How do you take care of yourself mentally?
Yeah, what do you do to stay sane?
I'm a big sleeper. I love a good nap.
Same.
I play basketball a lot because it really helps to clear my head. I played basketball in college, so, you know, it's very natural for me. And I just, you know, I like hanging out with my friends because at the end of the day, you know, you find your people who understand you, and that's what matters. And you take on life with them.
Aw, that's nice. I also do like something athletic to blow off steam, but during the winter season, I like to go skiing.
Oh.
Because my phone doesn't work up there, so it's, like, nice. Because it's, like, sometimes you need that, like, break.
Yeah.
But basketball is good, too.
I snowboard.
Yes.
Same. Ooh, nice. Yeah. And, yeah, the whole hanging out with your friends, you need that. I remember when we were going through the circle, I was calling Courtney, like, every day, every morning. And he was like, are you good?
Yeah.
Are you alive?
Yeah.
You
know? It would get to a point where I'd wake up and... Cheryl would wake up next to me and I'd be looking at Twitter and she'd be like, put that shit away. She was like, the only way that shit has power over you is if you continue to give it power over you. Listen, I love that girl, man.
Yeah. She sounds amazing for you.
She's the best. The best.
And it's really good. I think I know we just met, but, you know, and I know I don't know her, but I feel really invested in this relationship already.
You don't take your ass home and watch this damn
But show. I'm gonna watch it fully through. Okay. But I just came here to say that I think the whole experience of you two having to go through this and figure out your relationship, moving in together and, you know, you proposing and all of that, and having to do all of it on camera just makes you guys like that much stronger. Yeah, and, you know,
absolutely.
It's really beautiful because a lot of relationships don't come out on the good side. And it looks like you guys are coming out on the good side.
There was no way that this relationship wasn't coming out on the good side.
I love that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm going to cry.
Gerald, what's next for your ass?
What's next for
me? What are you up to?
What am I up to? I mean, shit, I'm working right now. So I work in entertainment. I currently work for Will and Jada at their production.
Oh, cool.
Company. I do brand partnerships for them. So continuing the good fight there, you know, doing all that stuff, but also trying to find partnerships for myself. Mm. You know, I host a podcast called Basketball Adjacent, talking about my life in and after sports, everybody else that has careers adjacent to basketball and sports, because when I stopped playing basketball was all I had known for so long. I didn't really know how to pivot, how to transition, what to do next. And I found that there's a whole community of people who feel the same way and need to know what's out there, you know, before they make some very life-changing steps of their own. Working on a lot of really good brand partnerships for myself with some of my favorite brands, which is great. And, you know, getting into some scripted stuff.
Nice. I was going to ask, you know, what other shows that are out right now that you could possibly see yourself doing if you were to do any?
Like reality?
It doesn't matter. I mean, you've already done two very different ones.
Would I do the challenge?
That's always like my question. Yeah. I don't know why, but would you do the challenge?
Which one is the challenge?
The one on MTV.
Gerald, on MTV is the challenge where they be jumping off the cliff and battling each other.
Oh, shit.
It used to be Real World back then.
Oh. It was like the Real World Road Rules challenge back in the day. Okay. But now it's just the challenge.
Maybe.
Yeah?
Maybe. You know what I really want to do?
What?
The fucking Squid Game shit.
I was going to say. Y'all heard him. On that. Yeah. I could see him on
Rich,
that.
Ring his phone.
I really want to do that. Like, I'm really into, like, that shit seems fun.
Yeah. 400 people,
that
though.
That shit seems fun.
Okay, but what would you do with $4.56 million? What would you do? Question. What's the first thing?
First thing I'd do is I'd buy a house for me and Cheryl.
Oh, I love that.
I'd buy a house for me and Cheryl.
Okay, second thing.
I'd give some money to my parents.
Love.
I'd pay off Cheryl's student loans.
Mm. Oh, mine too? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't have any. Just a subtle flex.
And then, I'd invest a good chunk of it, man, because, you know, your money got to make money. You can't just let it sit there.
Yeah,
I agree.
I'm really big on just like having fun and like doing really cool shit. That's why I said Squid Game. I don't know if I couldn't really do another reality show, because I've had so much fun doing Suite Life with my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I could go to another show with like some random people and it be the same experience.
They're gonna put you in a house with a whole,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, people you don't know.
I don't
what
know.
Friendship.
I don't know. I feel like that new College Hill show on BET seems fun. They're like Ray J and
NeNe and Dream.
Yeah, I saw that.
Stacey Dash.
That looks like so much fun.
That seems like fun. Like going back to school. College was some of the best times of my life. I was a big nerd who was also an athlete. So like I moved very freely throughout the campus. Yeah. I mean, just anything fun, really. More Suite Life. What show do I want to do? More Suite Life.
I want 5 seasons minimum of Suite Life. Y'all already know how I feel about y'all show.
Well, I'm looking forward to all of it.
Girl, you can watch it in one afternoon.
That's what he was telling me, actually, the
other
day.
Watch that in one afternoon, girl. Like, you
watch
do
it
some
so
laundry before you know it, girl. It's the last
Are
episode.
You a big all binger,
right.
though?
Like, I am. I'm a huge binger, but right now I was rewatching Avatar. Sometimes in between reality shows, if there's like a lot of drama, because there's... I watch like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and like Selling Sunset, stuff like that. So it's nice to just watch something wholesome and like not real people on the screen. Mm. I don't know. For me, it's like I watch too much of the same, I get like tired of it.
Burned out.
I get you. Yeah. I'm very big. Like I love binging TV. Like I love a good show with a great plot, like comedy, drama, thriller. If you give a good recommendation, I will finish it in a day.
Damn.
Are you like a documentary guy? I love watching like docu-series.
No.
Really?
What?
I love learning about cults. Is that weird?
You know, you and my girlfriend, fiance, would get along very well. She loves like watching all that cult stuff. Like
the Scientology.
Leah
Remini.
Oh, I have to meet her now.
And she's really big into like the nature docu-series right now.
Ooh,
like,
those are good.
Prehistoric planet and shit like that.
Oh my God, yes. I used to watch those. Those are so good.
Jeez.
Okay, like, don't knock them. Don't knock them.
Listen,
you know you enjoy them. You know when she puts it on, you're like watching. From
the one thing that she puts on that I hate those prehistoric planet shows, stuff like that. The one she puts on that I really like and she got me hooked on was Sex in the City.
She's never seen that. Is it that good?
Yes, you've never
seen Sex in the City, but you've never seen Sex in the City.
I'm too busy rewatching Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Are you serious?
Every single day.
I tell you,
no.
Sex in the City. The series, the movies, hands down, one of the greatest TV series
really?
I've ever watched.
I've only exclusively seen, don't laugh, Carrie Diaries. I've only seen that.
Mm-mm.
Only. I've never seen any of the sex.
This is the last episode of the podcast
I've also
ever.
Never seen The Notebook. Y'all could beat me with a stick now.
You never seen, I've seen
or
The
Grease.
Notebook.
What is wrong?
I've never seen Grease.
Real upset when they find out I've never seen Grease.
Grease, whatever. Grease, anyway, Sex in the City is what the real moneymaker.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Carrie Bradshaw
in
them?
Yeah.
Literally, I will watch it over again with you. That's how much I love Sex in the City. I've rewatched it like 2 times already.
You watched it 2 times? I have to say I've watched Sex in the City at least like 15 times.
Really?
Yeah.
It's that good?
Well, Cheryl watches it like every day.
Who's your favorite Sex in the City character?
Samantha.
Me too! Yeah. Oh my God!
Samantha's
the best.
Yeah, she all about her sex, which is great.
Yeah.
Because what is Sex in the City without the sex?
Yeah.
Just the city, and nobody wants to watch it because of that.
Right.
Huh.
No.
Sarah Jessica Parker in
You them. Would love Samantha.
No, yeah. You would
really?
Absolutely
you
love
would
Samantha.
Love Samantha.
Bro, go watch the show.
Yeah?
Go watch the show. Absolutely.
Yeah. I gotta watch Carrie Bradshaw on them.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk to you about Sex in the City stuff now, but now I can't say anything because Courtney is here.
He's not gonna remember.
My bad.
He's not gonna remember at all.
He's literally not.
This is just some tea, but Sex in the City was doing like another movie, but Sarah Jessica Parker was in. Oh, wait, no.
They did Just Like That. It's coming back.
And Just Like That. It came back.
No. Samantha
she's
is like
back.
Ran out. No, she's not.
No, yeah.
Not
Samantha,
back.
Samantha wasn't
she's not
in
coming
the new
back.
Show.
Oh, I thought she said she was coming back.
Mm-mm. They had like a feud. I think it had to do with money, how much people were getting paid, of course.
I mean, none of my business.
And I mean, when you carry as much as she did, it's kind of like, well.
Oh, wow. It's like that Neve Campbell. How they not trying to
pay? I feel like
what's
her
to come back to screen.
I mean, I don't know all the details, but I mean, she was really great. It was very evident that she was like...
You missed her presence in a lot of the new series. Like the new series was great. It was great. Me and Cheryl watched it.
The new series of Sex in the City was great.
It was Sex in the City.
We had no issues with it. But like you really, as a Samantha fan, you missed Samantha's presence in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right. Shit.
I love it.
I need to watch Miss Carrie and the girls.
Yeah.
Samantha's like my idol. I love her.
Listen, I support her.
Yeah.
And all her shenanigans, Samantha, whatever they may be.
Samantha created the dick appointment.
Oh.
She created
it. Really?
She did.
She's the originator.
Well then.
Yes.
Me and Samantha, we need to have a conversation.
Now. Yeah, no, you would love it. I'm so glad that you're a Sex and the City fan. Yeah. That's awesome.
You know what's great? Girls be so surprised when I tell them that I like Sex and the City.
Yeah, because literally zero men, even the gays, you just don't know.
It's the female version of Entourage in my mind. And I I loved Entourage.
I've never seen Entourage.
Ooh, I need to see Entourage.
My God. Everyone I know loves the Entourage.
Courtney,
right, I just watch reality TV and bullshit all day. No. I swear.
Dramas are really good. I'm a big,
You know, I check out the little shows here and there, White Lotus and all of that.
Okay, so you need to do Sex and the City tonight. I'll do Entourage.
Let me check my calendar.
I might.
Entourage, I've heard a lot of good things about Entourage too.
Entourage is great because it was like a pivotal moment in like that kind of breaking the fourth wall of TV and real life, because they had so many people appear as themselves.
Oh, I love that.
And you
that.
Could see so much of yourself in like the characters and like Vinny and Turtle and what they were doing, like their whole come up. Like it just felt like really authentic.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is great.
I'm like, Entourage and Sex in the City, I got homework.
Yeah.
Also, have you watched Harlem on Amazon Prime?
Oh, no.
It's like the black version of Sex and the City.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
Ooh.
It's a good comparison for me.
Who's in that?
Megan Good.
I'm going to write this down.
I literally have seen the show.
You've seen the show?
I literally have seen the show. Okay. That
Tyler Loeffler.
That ending. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I forgot I watched that. That was really good, Gerald.
Yeah. So watch Sex and the City.
Okay. All right.
You will
all
enjoy
Sex and the City. I'll watch it. Yeah, Megan Good did come back. Because I think I tweeted about it. I was like, Megan Good is back, bitch.
Mm-hmm. I think I tweeted. Why is that always your reference for things?
Because that's how I remember everything. That's why I tweet
something. When you tweet something?
Yeah, I literally was in the club tweeting that Vanessa Carlton 1,000 Miles played, because I didn't want to forget how I went the fuck off. And I did. And I'm here at work today. Shout out to Chase. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Chase.
Happy birthday, Chase.
I'm proud of you for making it on time.
Moderation. Everything in moderation.
Everything.
A little party, a little podcast.
Work hard, play hard.
Exactly. That's me.
Yeah.
Work hard, play hard, nap the hardest.
Mm. Well, Gerald would agree.
Bible.
Positive about that.
Bible.
At the end of every podcast episode, we like to play a little game called Kiss, Marry, Avoid. So the three options we have for you are Brianna, Miami, and Kofi.
I'd marry Kofi. me and Kofi are like the same person, and we would get along very, very well. I'm very comfortable with my masculinity too, so I'd marry the bro.
I could tell you watch Sex in the City. I think it's great.
Yeah.
All the men around should take notes.
My fiance bad. My homies is cool. I'd marry the bro. So I'd marry Kofi, I'd kiss Brianna, and I'd avoid Miami. Mm.
All right, you heard it here first.
I just want to say, don't react. I just want to say we need more Miami in season 2 of Suite Life Los Angeles. I do not know if we're going to see her. Gerald has not told me anything, but as a fan of the show,
I don't know.
I just want to see more of her because, not a spoiler, she brought good mess. I'll leave it at that.
Another thing, you talk about like being friends. I've known Miami since I was in high school. Like,
really?
Everyone that you saw on the show, like, these are all.
They're your people.
All my people. Mm. We're that's what I love about Suite Life is us.
That. It really is
it's us.
Real.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Mm. Me and my friends would be an absolute atrocity.
Yes. Imagine my birthday table and we all had a show. Jesus
mess.
Christ. The drams.
Yeah,
literally. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ. I would probably marry Brie because I would always be moisturized. right? That's one
you'd
of the
be
options.
Buttered. You wouldn't be moisturized. You'd be buttered.
I would be buttered.
Buttered by
Brie. Make sure y'all get more.
Go
of that.
Cop some my, butter yes, by Brie, dog.
That's my girl. I would probably kiss Kofi just because I feel like he's funny. So I would kiss a funny guy. And I would avoid Miami because she would drag me. I'd live for it. She would drag me and get me involved in good mess. Yes. But shout out to all three making requests. And more buttered by Brie also. Loved her on season 1.
Yeah.
More dates, more business opportunities for her, and more good outfits.
What you want to see out of me in season 2? I'm curious.
Gerald, you give.
I give.
You give. Okay. You just need to be yourself.
Okay.
I just want more of certain aspects of the show. You and Cheryl, to me, are like center peach holders. Making a Real Housewives. To me, but I wanted more something else from the others. I wanted more Kofi for sure. Reactions. We need more of that. More Brie, period. I don't care if she goes on 50 flop dates. I want to see every flop date because I just enjoy seeing her date men and like her commentary in the interviews. You get what I'm saying? Thailand, more events. More events. I want to see her business blow up even more because we're on season two now, so everything has to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And Jordan's doing like pop-ups all over, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully y'all are filming those. We need more of that as well. Thank you. And I'll be watching regardless.
He said, I only have a couple suggestions.
He went through every single aspect of the show and said, these are my cliff notes.
I'm just saying. These are my cliff notes. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed season one.
Okay, yeah, same. Absolutely same for me. I think I'm just going to keep it all the same because Miami seems a little controversial and I don't know that's like a tussle I want to get into
girl,
right now.
Girl, she'll snatch your hand.
I believe she'll it. I'm like, good thing this is all real. Good thing this is all real. Gerald, thank you so much for coming by the podcast and being so cool, so fun to talk to, and for opening yourself up. It was great getting to know you today.
Thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
Hey, ask Courtney. I make best friends fast. We're best friends now.
We're basically gang. Family.
We're gang.
We're cousins.
Yeah, we're cousins. I thought we were cousins.
We're so stupid
I'm
on
confused.
This podcast.
I thought we were cousins.
Gerald, where can they find your ass on social media?
You can find me on all platforms at Gerald H. Timms at Smith backwards. So Gerald, JERROLDHTIMS.
My socials, you guys know where you can find me in the club. No, I'm just kidding. At Sav Palacio, anywhere online.
You can find me at Court Revolution on TikTok and Twitter and Courtney Revolution on Instagram. And make sure you follow the Homecoming Queens on social media as well. Homecoming Queens Pod on TikTok and Instagram as well.
We also have a new YouTube channel, so you can watch every episode of the Homecoming Queens podcast on that YouTube channel, also titled Homecoming Queens Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe. You know the deal. Love you guys. Bye. Bye.
Homecoming Queens is part of the Eve Podcast Network and a Forever Dog production. Executive producer, Tracy Soren. Engineer, producer, and editor, Clementine Yost. Theme song by Will Pitts. Cover photo by Stephanie Sayas. Forever Dog Productions is Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm.